So, as we all know, our theme for the Children's Week is I am a child of God. And our theme text is taken from the book of Galatians 3, verse 26. If we can have that up. Galatians 3, verse 26. Okay, I'll be reading the NIV version. So it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Okay, so who's a child? A child is a new man of spring at any age. Old, young, you are still a child. But who is a child of God? Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. If you can have that up. Okay, so it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are, okay, no, I'll just end at verse 16. We don't need that verse. Okay, so we are all born children of God, but when do you truly become a child of God? The moment you truly become a child of God is when you receive the gift of salvation. What is the gift of salvation? The gift of salvation is the gift that we receive when you make the decision to fully surrender it all to Christ. You let him take control over everything. You turn to full repentance. You show him your full you. You show him everything about you. Just give him control over your life. I believe that is when we receive the gift of salvation. And when we receive the gift of salvation, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our friend, our comforter. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit that we received, we see in verse 15, I believe, it says, through the gift of the Spirit that we received, it brings about our adoption to sonship. So it's not just about calling yourself a child of God. Oh, I'm a Christian, so I'm a child of God. Oh, I go to church, of course, I'm a child of God. But do you truly have a relationship with God? Do you love him? Do you spend time in his presence? Do you always want to be with him? Can we have the book of Matthew 18, verse 3 to 4? Yeah, Matthew 18, 3 to 4. When it comes to the hands of the Father, we are all children of God. Okay, so it says, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 3 says, unless you become like these little children. It's trying to tell us that we should bring ourselves down to be more childlike and not childish. Emphasis on childlike and not childish. So I'm just going to give us some of the characteristics of being childlike. My first point is children have great faith. A child has no control over what goes on in their lives. They believe that if a child is going to school, he believes that when he wakes up in the morning, his mom or his dad is going to get him to school. He doesn't know how, he doesn't care how, but he knows that it is going to happen, and it is going to happen when it should happen. This is the same way we should trust and have faith in God, that no matter what the situation looks like in our lives, no matter what is going on, we should trust that God always has a plan for us. He will never lead you into the path of fire. He knows what he wants for you. He's always there. As long as you let him have control over your life, you are not making a mistake. You will not regret it. Matthew 17, verse 20. It says, with faith as small as a mustard seed, there is nothing impossible to do. With faith as small as a mustard seed. So anything that is impossible becomes possible when you have faith in Christ. So we need to build up our faith in Christ. My next point is that children are very humble. Matthew 18, verse 4. No, verse 4. Okay. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Earlier, I talked about the gift of salvation. And to even receive the gift of salvation, you have to humble yourself before the gospel. You can't walk. Someone that is proud will not be able to come and receive the gospel. He's like, what's this? You have to be able to humble yourself down to be able to receive the gospel and to take it in. As children of God, we have to be willing to embrace God's will for our lives. Even if it looks like even if it's not what we want, God knows what's best for us. He wants what's best for us. He is more passionate about our future, even more than we are. So anytime he tells us to go away, we should learn to humble ourselves before him in obedience and walk in the path that he is directing us to go in. When you humble yourself before God, it is easy for you to learn at his feet. It is easy for you to be transformed by him into the image that he is grooming you into. But if you walk with pride, if you are pride, it's not easy for you to trust. It's not easy for you to lean on another man's understanding because you believe that you have enough strength and wisdom to walk on the journey alone. And that's a very big lie because we cannot go through anything without God. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Okay. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. God opposes the proud. You do not want to be in an opposite battle with proud and with God. You do not want to be on the opposite side of which God is standing on. Trust me, you just don't want to be on an opposite side with God. So you need to be able to humble yourself at his feet. Serve the people, serve God, serve the people around you with humility in your heart and not with pride. My next point is that children are very forgiving. They do not know how to keep grudges. If two children are fighting now over, let's say, candy, and they walk away from each other, in the next 1 minute, they come back and they are apologizing to each other and they are playing again like nothing happened. That is the same way we need to walk around with forgiveness in our heart. No matter how much someone hurts you, no matter how big or how small it is, you need to walk with forgiveness. I'm going to give a quick illustration. Okay. So someone offends me, like the person hurts me really badly, and I find it hard to forgive the person. My hands are clenched like this towards the person. And God is trying to release something onto me. How do I want to receive from God when my hands are still clenched? You have to be able to let go of what you are holding onto to be able to receive what God has in store for you. So walk in forgiveness to be able to receive from God. God himself commanded us in his Bible, in his word, to walk in forgiveness when someone offends us. Colossians 3 verse 12 to 13. Okay. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. The Lord himself has forgiven us. We commit countless sins every single time. We can't count the amount of sins we commit. We should not put a limit to how much we forgive each other. The Lord said in his word that we should forgive as the Lord himself forgave us. So please, let's learn to walk in forgiveness. Now, as children, we need someone to guide us. We need people we can turn to when we are confused, people who would lead us. And who are the perfect examples for that? Those are our parents. So parents have a role in how their children turn out to be. They have a role in how their children's lives play out. God has given them a responsibility over them. So I'm just going to give us a few points on parents' role in the growth of their children. The first one is to show your children love. Raise your children in a household of love. Whatever your child faces in a household is going to impact how your your child faces the world. It's going to impact how your child sees the world. Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And can we also have Colossians 3 verse 14? And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love binds them all together in perfect unity. Some versions say perfect harmony. No matter how much you are trying to discipline a child, you should always come from a place of love, a place of emotions. If your child isn't experiencing love, if your child is not experiencing a form of affection in the house, he or she is going to go outside and look for what they think is love. And that is how they get into terrible situations that draw them into things they don't know, because they want to feel loved, but they don't feel reciprocated that love at home. So they're looking for someone who would show them that attention, even if they know that the person is not doing the right thing. Because they still want to feel loved, they would stay closer to that person, and that's how they get themselves into bad situations. We do not want our children to get into bad situations because they felt like they could not come to us when they needed to be appreciated or when they just wanted to feel love. An armed robber was born, a kidnapper was born, an abuser was born. The household that the child is raised in determines the future of that child. Please, let's learn to raise our children in love. My next point is we need to teach and show them the word of God. Proverbs 22 verse 6, please. Okay, I'll read from here. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. When your children come to you for advice over something they are confused about, show them advices from the book that they can get advices from in their old journey of life. What book is that? That's the word of God. There is nothing you are going through on this earth that is not in the scripture. There is nothing that you think or you need an answer to that is not in the scripture. If your children need something, if they need an advice from you, show them also from the word of God. So when you are not with them, they know what to turn to. They don't let the devil fill their heads with lies. We need to always put the word of God in all that they do. Let you become their favorite Bible study teacher. Pray the Bible with them. Study the Bible with them. That's how they are groomed and groomed and groomed to continue to love and study the word. So when they are mature, they can experience the love of God for themselves and not turn away from it. The best gift you can give to your child is experiencing the gift of salvation, because that's the best gift in the world. My next point is be good role models for them. I need the book of Titus 1 verse 6 to 8 and Titus 2 verse 4 to 8. But 1 verse 6 to 8 first, please. Verse 6 to 8, Titus 1 verse 6 to 8. Yeah. An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife. A man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. The Bible verse says it all. Please, can we also have Titus 2, verse 4 to 8? Yeah. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. I'm just going to stop there. I just wanted to bring out what it said about the women. You want to live your life in an exemplary manner that your children can follow. You want to be a step of guidance to your children in all that you do. I once heard a man of God say in a preaching, he said, walk as a man of the Spirit so your children can follow you in becoming men of the Spirit. Do you understand that? Okay, so you want to be a good role model to them. You do not want to be the reason why their faith is stumbling or why their relationship with God is crashing. It says in the book of Matthew 18 verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea if you cause these little ones to stumble. You don't want to be that person. You do not want to be the reason why your child's faith is one day, yeah, I'm a good child of God. Another day, I'm going to the club. Yeah, I'm going to get drunk, that kind of thing. You do not want to be the reason why your child is going through that sort of phase. My next point is to discipline your child when necessary. Proverbs 13 verse 24, if we can have that. Proverbs 13 verse 24. Okay. Whoever spares the rod eats their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Some people walk around with the belief that, oh, if I don't beat my child, if I don't discipline my child when he or she is wrong, it will just make he or she love me more. They would feel free to come to me with their problems and things like that. But the only thing that is the end of that is that you are hurting the future of that child, and you are not fulfilling the responsibility of that child. You discipline your child because you love them, not because you hate them. If you are not disciplining that child, you hate that child because you don't care about the future. You should treat your child's future with so much care. Let them know that you care about their future even more than they do. Whenever you are disciplining a child, it's never an interesting or an enjoyable period, but the outcome of that discipline is always favorable to the future of that child. That is how we want to treat those children, because you love them. It's all coming from a place of love. We can see again that it is love that binds everything together. Okay, so when a child does something wrong and he or she is disciplined, they learn from that mistake and they do not want to go back to make that same mistake. But if you don't do anything about it, they're just going to continue going back because they believe that that's the right thing to do. But even our Heavenly Father disciplines us when we need to be disciplined. He is the perfect example for parents to learn from for how to discipline their children. Because godly discipline brings about godly sorrow. And you might say, what is godly sorrow? Godly sorrow causes us to reflect on what we have done. It causes us to reflect, to repent, and to change our ways. Proverbs 22 verse 15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. So I'm going to give us some biblical... Okay, my time's up. Sorry, can I have like 5 more minutes? I'm just going to round up. Okay, some biblical examples of good children in the Bible. Number one, Jesus, of course. In the book, you can study the story of Jesus in the book of Luke 2, verse 42 to 50, where his parents took him to the temple. He was just 12 then. They took him to the temple and he sat with the teachers. He was learning from them, asking them different questions. His parents didn't know he was there and they were so amazed at his understanding. What I'm trying to bring out from this is that we should always, it's never too early to start serving God. Starting from the littlest of things, no matter how little it is, you start from the little things before you build your way up. You need to start serving God even right from when you are young. Parents, we need to show our children what they can do in the house of the Lord to continually walk serving the Lord in all they do. Okay, my next example is Samuel. We can study his story in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. This was about when the Lord was calling him, but he thought it was Eli. And then when Eli realized that it was God who was calling him, he told him to answer to the Lord. What I want to bring out from this is how Samuel walked in obedience to God's calling over his life. He didn't fumble, he didn't grumble, he didn't like, you understand what I'm trying to say? He walked in obedience to God's calling over his life. He continued to walk and serve the Lord in all that we do. So anytime God or even our parents tell us to do something, even if we don't like it or we don't know what it is, just walk in obedience. God will never lead you into a path that is not good for you. He wants the best for you. So when he tells you to do something, just walk in obedience to his word. Mary also is an example, a good example. Time's up. In conclusion, children, just learn to obey your parents. Children, please discipline your parents and your children when it is right. Time's up. Okay, so back to the example of Mary. The book of Luke 1, verse 26-38, that's the story of when angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and he told her that she was going to be bearing the Son of God. The last verse, can we have Luke 1, verse 38, please, if we can? The reason why I want to see that verse, no, verse 38. So Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Do you see how she prayed for the word of God to be fulfilled over her lives? That is the same way we should be willing to embrace God's will for our lives. Not our plans, not our wills, not what you want, even though it seems like that's the best thing for you at that point in time. God knows more than you know. God's will always and forever be the only option for you to follow. So please, let's see Mary as an example. I'm going to give one bad example, which is Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, the priest. Bible reference for that is from the book of 1 Samuel 2, verse 12-36. So Hophni and Phinehas committed immoral, that is wrong acts, in the temple. They took from what belonged to the Lord the offerings that were being given. They were taken from it. We shouldn't do that. You know, we shouldn't do that. Eli found out about it, and he didn't use the word of discipline over them. He just spoke, but no action. At that point in time, his actions were honoring his children more than he was honoring God. We shouldn't do that. Parents, when you need to discipline your child, please do, with words and with action. Children, please, we do not want to walk in paths that we know are not right for us. You know what is wrong. Do not act like you don't know. We do not want to face the wrath of God, because at the end of the day, they all face the anger and the wrath of God over their lives. So please, we know what is right to do at the right time. In conclusion, children, let's obey our parents whenever they discipline us or whenever they tell us what they want us to do. They just want what is best for you. Feed on the word of God so it can shape you into the image of God. And lastly, your spiritual growth is a never-ending process. Don't think that because you fall down, you can't rise back up and ask God for grace. He is waiting for you to come back to him. Just ask him for grace to be able to continue to walk in your path. And as I said before, godly sorrow. Reflect on what you did and do not walk back in that path. Can we rise up for some prayer points? Okay, I just want us to thank the Lord for this word that we have heard today. Let's thank the Lord. Let's pray for the grace and strength to continually walk in obedience for his plans over our lives. Let's pray for all the parents here today that the best way for them to train their children up, the Lord will show and teach them how to. Let's also pray for the grace to be able to run back to God when we fall, to be able to run fast back to God. And let's pray that in all that we do, we continue to walk in the confidence that we are children of God. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for being here. We thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you. I thank you for using me as a vessel to bring your word to your children. I just pray that they take something from this word today, that they leave this place, oh Lord, with an encouragement that you are with them all times. You are with them even when they fall. You are waiting for them to come back to you. Help us, Lord, to walk in obedience to your word for us. Help us to embrace your will over our lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. May your will over our lives, Lord, be done in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.